of Noshim and Ezekiel. We're learning Git Nisiyah, so the whole institution of Get is in Chamishi, in today's Sedra. The Rambam starts off in Chazirishin by spelling out the 10 dinim, the 10 fundamental halachas and hilchas gittin. He lists them off 1 to 10, and then he lists off all of the psukim that all of the dinim are derived from, and all of the psukim come from Parshas Kiseitze. Everything is in the Parsha of Get. The Parsha of Get is in the context of the din of Machzeh Gerushasoi, that if a man was married and divorced his wife and she married someone else, and then the second husband either died or divorced the wife, so the first husband is not permitted to remarry other wife. That's an Isur of Machzeh Gerushasoi. The name of the Tana is, rarely appears in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Chof Yud Pei Resh. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur is working on the Lashon HaPasuk. It says, L'yichol b'ayla rishon asher shilcha lashuv l'kachta. The first husband is not allowed to remarry the wife. Achari asher hu tamo'o. What does that mean, achari asher hu tamo'o? Well, hu tamo'o sounds like something very bad. What did she do? She married a second husband. What's so bad about that? So he claims, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur claims, that the prohibition of Machzeh Gerushos only applies if she had nisuin with the second husband, she was living with him. But if they only had erisin, she never lived with the second husband, then there's no prohibition. We don't accept that opinion. We pass can read the Machzeh Gerushos min her erisin is also an Issa deraisa. So how do you translate the word Achrei Asher Hu Tamo'o? So the Gemara says Achrei Asher Hu Tamo'o is read as if there were a semicolon there. Lo yichol ba'al rishon shishul chaloshim lekachta, semicolon. And also, achrei asher hu tamo, if a woman is a soito, an eshes ish, a zinza, tachas baila, she's also not allowed to remain married with her husband. The two different isurim in the pasuk. Achrei asher hu tamo is a reference to v'nitmo, 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 the phrase that appears in Parshas Noso in the context of a soito. Let's say a man was married and he divorces his wife and then she's mezana as a pnuya. She's mezana with someone and then he wants to remarry her. Then the Gemara says there's no prohibition of Machzeh Gerushos. It's only forbidden if she was married in between to somebody else. So in the context of the din of Machzeh Gerushos, so the Chumash writes the whole description of how you give a get. Kasavah Sefer Kri says, V'nasim v'yad v'shilchan v'beisav, so on. Then also in that parasha, you have a hekesh that we've been talking about the last week or so. You have written a hekesh is if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk near each other. So we assume that there is a relationship between the two dinim. So you have the two dinim of getting divorced and getting married, opposite from each other, but they have something in common, even though they're opposites. That's called makish habayi liyatziyah. It says v'yatzmi beisa, he divorces his wife. V'holach v'hoisu liyishacher. She goes and she marries the second husband. So that's what the Gemara refers to as Havaya. Havaya means marrying, and Yotza means Makish Havaya Liyitziya. Itziya means getting divorced. So the Makish Havaya Liyitziya teaches us that there is an institution of Kiddushe Shtar by Gerishin. That's the only way to get divorced, is by Get. And the institution of Kiddushe Shtar is derived from Makish Havaya Liyitziya. And then the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud had the suffix whether Shtar Kiddushin has to be Lushmo or not. What comes to the conclusion that yes, and then there's a further discussion. How far do you go in the Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel Mem Dalet? The Gemara has a machlek Zabiach Nevesh Lachish. How far do you go with this Makish Havai Litzia? The Gemara quotes a story there where Shlokish disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan. He was screaming Makish Havai Litzia, Makish Havai Litzia, and the Gemara says relays the Ashgach Bey, and they just ignored him. That's a little too much. What he wanted to say was pushing it too much about the Makish Havai Litzia. We have a rule, ein hekesh lemachza, but it's not 100% ein hekesh lemachza. Hekesh is if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. Smuchim is if you have two psukim, one next to the other. So the Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos has a machlekes hatanoim, whether the drasha of smuchim is only legitimate in Chumash Devarim, or it's a legitimate form of a drasha, midash atar and the drashas b'em, and all the chamish shulchem shetar. So the generally accepted position is that it's only a legitimate drasha in Chumash Devarim, and there are many famous halachas that are based on smuchim. In today's Sedra, there are three famous dinim that are based on smuchim. You have the din of Eser Dechaloy Sese. You have the two psukim, one next to the other. G'dilim Tasaloch Alarba Kamfas Ksuscha Shetachasebo. That's one pasuk, and it's right next to the pasuk of Losilbish Shat and Stemra Pishtim Yachtov. G'dilim Tasaloch is after that. So you have two psukim, one next to the other. So that in Chumash Dvarim we darshan smuchim, we treat it as if it were a hekesh. So what's the connection between tzitzis and kalayim? So the Gemara says, if the beged is made from pishtim, and you're putting in tzitzis, and you're going to put in tchela, so the tchela has to be dyed a certain color, but it has to be a certain material. It has to be a certain material. The material has to be dafke wool. So if you're going to tie on a woolen string onto a linen garment, that's going to constitute shatnez deraisa. So nonetheless, the psukim say that that's required, that's permissible, and that's required. You have another famous smuchim in today's parsha. You have a hayon bin hakos harasha. The Torah says if the rasha deserves malchus, so the bezin should give him the malchus. And the next pasuk says, losachsam shabedisha. So the Gemara establishes that the institution of Vidarshan smuchim here. Gemara says the whole institution of Malkus is Dumya Dalav Dachasima. Whoever violates an Avera that's similar to Lasafsam Shabadisha gets Malkus. If the Lav is not similar to Lasafsam Shabadisha, there's no Malkus. So then the Gemara in Malkus, in Elohein Aloiken, and other Mesich, this Gemara discusses the details. In what sense does it have to be Dumya Dalav Dachasima? What's considered not Dumya Dalav Dachasima? That's a big discussion in the Gemara. Then you have also in today's parsha you have the din of a third smuchim that's very famous. The Gemara has a din, the Chumash has a din of mamzer. So how do you determine who is considered a mamzer? So there are many different opinions among the Tanoim. The Gemara quotes some machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion was not accepted. Rabbi Yeshevov is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. He's a Tana. I think he's one of the Asura Harugim Malchus. Rabbi Yeshevov. Usually the name is pronounced Yeshevov. So in the Gemara, when it says in the Mishnah in Chulin, it says Yud Shin Beis Beis on the side to tell you, look in Divrei Hayomim, the name appears there, and the correct pronunciation is Yeshevov. So this Tana is quoted in the Gemara. He says, Bo unetzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. Let's all gather together and scream at Rabbi Akiva, that was his friend, Akiva ben Yosef, that he's making everybody mamzer. Rabbi Akiva was doing machman hilchas mamzer. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion was not accepted. But then there's several versions within Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Then there are other Tanoim, we paskel like Shimon Atemani. But then there are other Tanoim, Rabbi Shua is the most lenient, Rabbi Akiva is the most machmir, and we paskel like the centrist position, Shimon Atemani. That Mamzer is from Chavi Krisis, with the exception of Nida. Nida doesn't make Mamzeris, even though there's cars. So how do all the Tanoim figure out their Shita? So the Gemara says everybody bases it on the drasha of Smuchim, that the Pasuk of Lo Yavam Mamzer Bekal Hashem doesn't give you a definition of Mamzer. That Pasuk appears in Chumash next to adjacent to the other Pasuk of Lo Yikachish Eseisha Soviv. So we established the din that a Mamzer has to be someone who's born from a prohibited marriage that was similar to Lo Yikachish Eseisha Soviv. So that's the Machlekes HaTanoim. In what sense does it have to be similar? Is it similar because it has an Issa Karis, or similar because it has an Issa Lav? Similar because it has an Issa Misa? What exactly is called the similar? So the different opinions. Then we have in today's Sedra, not only do you have the Parsha of Gerishin, you have the Parsha of Kiddushin, Makash Abai Liitziya, you have the Parsha of Yibam Lachalitza, and the end of Parsha is Kiseitze. That's half of Noshim is already here.
What's unique about Sefer Tvarim that everyone agrees that you can
be the Torah? The Gemara in the beginning of Mevamos gives two explanations why it's different. You gotta understand both of them are not too well understood. You gotta break your head to figure out what it means in the Gemara. Of course, the Chumash, the Parsha begins with the institution of Ifas Toyar, which is also discussed in Maseches Kiddushin. And Rashi and Chumash quotes the famous comment from the Gemara, Abrais and the Gemara, Verisa Bashivya Eshes Yefas Toya. Let it just say Verisa Bashivya Yefas Toya. A girl who's good looking. Yefas Toya means female as opposed to a male. Obviously means a girl. So why does it have to say Eshes? So Eshes has the connotation of an Eshes Ish. Even though the girl is an Eshes Ish, even though she's a Nochris, you're allowed to take her, and even though she's an Eshes Ish. So Tosfos says, what do you mean an Eshes Ish? The Gemara says, there's no Eshes Libnei Noach. So what's the added chiddush? Tosfos says no. It means there's no issues living in Noach. If a Jew has an affair with a non-Jewish married woman, that's not enough of an ishus to be mechayv the Jew misa. Ain ishus to be nef, but she is an ishus ish. There is an isser of ishus ish. So that's a big discussion in Poskim when we say that there is an institution of ishus b'nei noach. This ishus Yisrael, which is something stronger, and then there's ishus b'nei noach, which is a lower level of ishus for which a Jew is not chayv misa. Anochi habol ishus ish is chayv misa, even if the ishus ish only has an ishus b'nei noach. A Jewish person is only chayv misa if it's a stronger ishus. So the question is, this lower level of ishus b'nei noach, can you have such an ishus in a mixed marriage? A Jewish man is married to a non-Jewish woman. So do you say, ein kiddush and tofsin, there's no ishus at all? Or do you say, no, there's an ishus b'nei noach. You can have the ishus Yisrael, but you can't have an ishus b'nei noach. Rabbi Yosef Engel in Kiddushin and the Gilyoni Hashas on Daf Chaf Aleph quotes one of the Tshuva Svarim. I think it's the Shev Yankiv or the Shus Yankiv. He quotes one of the poskim, one of the Acharonim, who says, if a Jew is married to a non-Jewish person, you have an ishus b'nei noach. You don't have an ishus Yisrael. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to be married to intermarriage is a biblical prohibition, but you have an ishus b'nei noach. And he rips it apart. He said, that's utterly ridiculous. I never heard of such a ridiculous idea.
Like if a Jewish guy says very
precious
to a non-Jewish woman, is that also
kiddushin, or just from? No, the Gemara says ishus b'nei noach is only kiddushin biyo. They don't have kiddushin kesef or shtar. Only hoshe beisus sheish kino. How to say? He posted by Avraham Avinu. Bulas baal. The posted says bulas baal. The Gemara says only bulas baal yesh lahem nichnas luchu pavaloni balain lahem. So if you'll say that there is such a thing, Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks that it's utterly ridiculous, if one should assume that there is such a thing as a tvisa zishas b'nei noach by a mixed marriage, so it'll be only a day be, it won't be, and then there's no need for a get, there's no need for divorce. Yerushalmi has two opinions. If a non-Jewish couple is not happily married, so what do they do? So there's no institution of get. Get is only for Jewish people, so where are you left? So there's one opinion that the Catholic Church has adopted. They're very machmir. Catholic Church has adopted the one opinion in the Yerushalmi that they can't get divorced. They're stuck for life. The woman is an ishus for the rest of her life. And then the other opinion, the Rambam is more lenient than the Pope. So the Rambam says that no, they can get divorced and there's no need for a get. They just say either he or she can initiate it. They just say goodbye and good luck, nice knowing you. And they shake hands and they'll be friends, but they won't be married. So that's a famous machlokes, the Rambam and the Catholic Church. Two opinions in the Talmud Yerushalmi. There is such a tshuva in the Beis Meir collection. Rabbi Beis Meir was a cousin of Rabbi Kivega. He used to correspond. All the Rabbanim used to correspond at that time. So the Beis Meir has also such a strange tshuva. A non-Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man, and then she had an affair with someone else, and then she converted, and then she wants to marry the Jew with whom she had the affair. So the Beis Meir says, Soita, Asur alaboyo. So that's the rabbi. What do you mean? The non-Jewish woman was married to the Jewish man. There's an ishus, and ishus b'nei noach, and in a mixed marriage that he's assuming like that shvus yankiv. And then he said, there's a din of soita by goyim. There's a din of soita. There's asur alabal, asur alabal. So this tshuva's Beis Meir was put out by Machon Yerushalayim about 25 years ago. It's a little safer. So the one who did the work apparently learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So he has a big footnote over there on the bottom of the page. He writes, he showed this manuscript to all the Rabbonim in the yeshiva. No one ever heard of this. It's impossible. They never heard of such a ridiculous idea. Wild notions. So you have the parsha of parsha of Yifas Tyron is in this parsha.
I think Mar and Sofit, it says that when you did Tamar, or Yehuda asked Tamar, are you married? Or were you married? Are you a guy? So the Mar's questions are kind of strange. She said, were you? Did you become Jewish? And he said, was your father from Paris? So I saw the Ian Yaakov says that he doesn't understand the order of the questions. If she became a Jew, she can't talk to the father from Paris. So he said, maybe the ancient mind is the Sylvie Topes. Maybe that's what they were talking about.
Okay. Big Kiddush. For sure. Then the Chumash has the Parsha of Yerusha. There is a din of Yerusha that we already had in the end of Chumash Ban Midbar. One of the dinim of Yerusha is that the b'chor is entitled to Pishnayim, and the father has to see to it, as Habcha ben Asnua Yakir, there's a mitzvah. That's how the Ramban says there's a mitzvah on the part of the father that he should see to it that the b'chor should get the pishnai. If he's not going to tell anybody before he dies who's the b'chor, and the b'chor is just going to get an equal share, so the Ramban considers this a mitzvah seseh. The father has not been a fulfillment of his mitzvah. The tzois is bothered by a kasha. Yitzchak Hanan has a tshuva about this. How can it be that Yakir is a mitzvah saseh on the father to see to it that the b'chor gets his share, his double share, the pishnayim? The Gemara has a whole discussion in the end of Kiddushin. Yakir lomali. The Gemara understands that Yakir is an emunis, that the father is believed to establish, to ascertain which one of the children is the b'chor. The Gemara doesn't at all seem to. The Gemara asks, why do you need the pasuk Yakir? Wouldn't I know on my own that the father has an emunis? Because biyodo. The father can divide all of his assets now before he dies, and he can give a double portion to the b'chor. So even though it's a dinim amenis case, even though the matter of b'chor getting pishnayim is an issue of dinim amenis, and edechot is not believed in amenis, but if it's biyodo of the edechot, we learn the din that biyodo is believed by dinim amenis. The Gemara asks, isn't it biyodo? So the achreinim abadir, Rabbi Kohan has the tshuva on this kasha. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that the father is Neman? No, Yaakov is a mitzvah on the father. He should let everybody know who the b'chor is. According to the way the Ramban understood it, this is a mitzvah. So we're not sure exactly how to deal with this pasuk. The pasuk describes a situation if a man has two wives and he has a son from one wife he loves and one wife he hates. Very strange. So why is he married to the wife that he hates? Why did he marry her? He hates her later on, so let him divorce her. So the whole story doesn't make any sense. He married a wife that he hates. So I would have had a havamina that even though the poor was born to the snuwa, he's not entitled to pishnayim because he loves the ahuva. Why do I have a havamina like that? Why should the din of poor getting pishnayim depend on the wife that he loves? And the Torah says that the havamina is incorrect. Why should anybody have such a havamina? So the Gemara explains, no, ahuva lefnei hamokam is snuwa lefnei hamokam. This character fell in love with both of them. He loves both of his wives. If he didn't love her, he wouldn't marry her. One of them is snua lefnei hamokam. One is a forbidden marriage. One is a permitted marriage. One is a prohibited marriage. A kohen is married to a grusha and to another wife. So I would have thought or a Jewish man is married to a mamzeres and a Israelis. So I would have thought that the poor is born to the forbidden marriage is not entitled to pishnai. He wasn't supposed to be born in the first place. I wasn't supposed to be married to her. So that's what the pasuk tells me. Kamashmal on the pasuk that despite the fact that she's snua b'nisuel lefnei amokam, HaKadosh Baruch is unhappy about the marriage, the b'chor is still entitled to pishnayim. So the Gemara points out, wow, what a pasuk. Kisihiyena liyish. Kisihiyena means havaya, like v'yotza v'hoysa. Havaya means marriage. Tvis is kiddushin. So the Gemara says that kiddushin tofsin b'isha ho'asura. Kiddushin tofsin b'isha ho'asura. I have other psukim that say that kiddushin anav tofsin be'isho ha'asura. Lo yikach ish es eish es aviv. You have other psukim. So the Gemara in the sense, lo yikach doesn't only mean, the Gemara says if you would only have the psukim written once, you have the arayas are written twice. A lot of the arayas are repeated twice, in achrei mois and in kiddushin. So the Gemara says if it would have only been written once, you would have thought that it's an avera to be mekadosh them. Now that it says it twice, and not only is an aver to mimikadosh these chaybi krisis, the kiddushin are not in tofsin b'di'evit. That's how the Gemara says. One goes on lachatchila, one goes b'di'evit. So it's a contradiction between the two psukim. There you have psukim that indicate that ain't kiddushin tofsin b'isho ha'asura. And here you have a pasuk that indicates that kiddushin not tofsin b'isho ha'asura. So how do you reconcile the two? So the Gemara says that's the whole machlekes. How do you determine when is the vlada mamzer? So Rabbi Akiva holds, we pass like Shemin Atemoni. The vlad is only a mamzer if it's an Issa Kares, and that's when it's Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, but it's a Chavi Lav and then Kiddushin Atofsin. And Rabbi Akiva is more machmer. Rabbi Akiva holds that Ein Kiddushin Tofsin Mechavi Lavin. But you have a Pasuk and mamzerim. If you marry a Chavi Lavin, it's going to be a mamzer. But the Pasuk says there is Kiddushin Tofsin Kisiyen Alish, that there is Havaya. So Rabbi Akiva has to admit that there are some cases where the vlad is not a mamzer and the Kiddushin Atofsin. The Gemara has three different versions of Rabbi Akiva. In Yevamos and in Kiddushin, different versions of exactly when did Rabbi Akiva formulate his opinion. When are they? Which Chavi Lavin are Kiddushin Tofsin? Which Chavi Lavin are not Kiddushin Tofsin? Then you have the Parsha Ben Sora Mora, a whole Perik in Masechah Sanhedrin. One Tana is of the opinion that Ben Zohar Mora, the conditions are so complicated to have Ben Zohar Mora. The parents have to have the same height and the same facial features, and the same voice. So either the father has a squeaky girl's voice, or the mother has a man's voice. The whole thing is so far-fetched. How can it be that the same weight and the same height and the same age, everything the same? And they're going to bring the son. If they don't bring the son to Bezdin and press charges against him, there's no din of Misa. There's not a mitzvah on the parents. Parents are moichel, they're moichel. So which normal parents are going to bring? You have abnormal parents also, but which abnormal parents are going to bring their child to Bezdin? So the one time is of the opinion that Ben Sarma lo hoiva lo asidrius. It's so far-fetched, it never happened, it never will happen. So why is it written drosh v'kabel schar? Another Tana is of the opinion. Another Tana says, not true. I was once in a cemetery, and I visited the grave of Ben Sarmar. There was such a thing. Another Tana says, there never was and there never will be a bayis hamenuga. The conditions are so complicated, it's impossible to have a bayis hamenuga. The other Tana says, different opinions about certain mitzvahs that are so far-fetched, it's impossible to have such a thing. Irani dachas, Montana says, Irani dachas, lohoisav, liyasid, liyas, v'lam nichtav, drosh v'kabel schar. So that's a question. What do you mean, drosh v'kabel schar? It's a mitzvah to learn Torah. So the Rebbe Shalom gave us another parak, Ben Zohar Mora. We're busy enough learning the rest of the Torah. Why do they have to give us another parak just to be able to say pilpul? Drosh v'kabel schar. What does it mean, drosh v'kabel schar? So different mafarshim give different suggestions. What does it mean? But it's a strange idea. You see, the Balatanya writes, you see from this, from all of the three Tanoim, that the Torah is a collection of dinim. You have 74 mitzvahs in Parshas Kizetza, okay? The Torah is, and there's a mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin and Shabbos and kashrus, taras ha-mishpacha. These are mitzvahs that we have to observe. But in addition to being mitzvahs that we have to observe, there's something more to the story. Apparently it's a description of Alakus. It's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there may be certain aspects of the description of Alakus that don't lead up to Halacha L'maisa. Otherwise you don't understand, why did the Rabbanu Shalom put a law, why did he put one or two or three, possibly three mitzvahs in the Torah that are Lohoyo L'yasidim L'yats? So that's the Balatanya's interpretation, that all of the mitzvahs add up to a description of Elokus. And this is drosh v'kabel schar. It's important to learn even the dinim that never have halacha l'maisa ramifications, because they're mashlim, the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. Then you have a din in the Chumash, if someone is given Misas Bezdin, you have a mitzvah to bury him. Kavetik berena bayamahu. There's an essay and a lois essay. You're not allowed to leave over the body till the next morning. There's a mitzvah essay to bury him on the same day. Does the mitzvah of kavura only apply to haruge bezdin? What if a person dies a natural death? Is there a mitzvah of kavura? So the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, Gemara has two brises, one next to the other, that are practically word for word exactly the same. And the brises say, kovetik varena, the kefaloshin, means to be marbe. The Gemara has an ongoing debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, where they say Dibetarik L'Shem Ben Yodam or Lod Dibetarik L'Shem Ben Yodam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he dictated in such a way the way people talk. So you may have a lot of extra words in the Chumash. That's the way people talk. That's Rabbi Shmuel holds, and Rabbi Kiva says, no, there is no such thing. Lod Dibetarik L'Shem Ben Yodam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never dictate to Moshe Rabbeinu a pasuk with extra words and extra letters. You have to be medayik everywhere. So that's the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. The Yedarshim L'Shoynes Kfulim. V'Sorach Tifta Chanek Tanek Nosim Titein Mos Yumos. Here it says Kovetik Berenu. So the Gemara quotes two prices, one after the other, and it says Kovetik Berenu is Marbe. Even a person dies a natural death, even not Harugi Bezin. It's still a different din. The Harugi Bezin is a special din that buried in a separate cemetery, and you have to bury them with the Sayif. Let's say the person got the death penalty of Sayif. So the Gemara says you have to bury the Sayif with which they killed him, the sword with which they killed him. Well, let's say a person got Chenek. So you have to bury him with the Sudur Shenechnach boy. The Gemara says that that's a Din Daraisa. You have to bury the Sudur or the Sayif within Dalar Amas of the Meis, in the Tvisas HaKever, Toch Dalar Amas of the Meis. So that's a special Din only by Harugi Bezna. And then normally there's a din, you're not permitted to bury a tzaddik next to a rosha. Also learned that from Sukkim and Novi. You're not permitted to bury a rosha chomin next to a rosha kal, if someone is keeping track. It's common as keeping track, and we know that this person did 5,000 averis, this person did 4,999 averis. So then the Gemara says, if you're really keeping track, you're not allowed to bury one next to the other. No one is keeping track, so we assume that all the people from the Mizrahi generally do the same number of averis. So the Mizrahi buys a plot, all the people from Aguda also violate the same number of averis, so we bury them all next to each other. That's why different groups buy different plots in cemeteries, because you're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a Rosh, Rosh Hashanah next to a Rosh Hashanah, so we assume that all the people from similar background have the same number of averis. So in the Haruge Bezdin, the Mishnah says that it's an exception to the rule, that you bury Rosh Hashanah next to Rosh Hakal. Because the Gemara says there really should have been, L'chayre, four different cemeteries. One for the Niskalim, and one for the Nisrafim, and one for the Nachnokim, and one for the Naharogim. And the Mishnah says that it's not so. There are Shnei Batikvaras, Hayim Misakim. The Niskalim and Nisrafim are buried together, and the Naharogim and Nachnokim are buried together. The Gemara says it's clearly a violation of the din of Ein Kayv and Rosh Hashanah, it's a Rosh Hakal. The Gemara says it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that Bezin should have two batikvaras. So you see that even if you're marba kovetik breno, that all mesim, there's a mitzvah kvura, but there's a separate mitzvah of kvura, there's a separate din of kvura by Mrs. Bezin. Separate din of kvura by Harugi Bezin. So there's a lecha mishnah in Hilchas Ovil, and the Rambam quotes all the dinim of kvura sameis. So the Lecha Mishnah points out that you have in Sanhedrin around that man, Rabbi, you have these two brises, one next to the other. They're practically word for word identical. So why does the Gemara quote two brises that are exactly the same thing? What's the difference? He says, no. One brise assumes that the drasha is a drasha gemur derais, the kavtik breno, that all mesim have a mitzvah kfura menatur. The other brise says, remez likvura menatur minay. Remez means that it's only an asmacht. Usually, remez, the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, remez usually implies that it's only an asmachta. And once in a while, the Gemara will say remez, and it's really a din deraisa. One of those cases is in today's parsha. The Gemara says remez leidim zayimim shalokim and atar minayim. What do you mean a remez? Commenting on the first Mishnah in Makkos, that sometimes the eidim zayimim are not punished with kasha zama. Sometimes when they testify that someone is a ben grush machalutza, so we don't punish them with kasha zama. We punish them with malchus. So the Gemara says, Remez leidim zavim im shalok manatar minayim, based on the pasuk in today's Sedra, it says, v'hitzdiku es hatzadik, v'hirshiu es harosha, means originally we thought that person is the rosha and he's the tzadik. And then we were mazim the first pair of eidim, and it turned out that the one we thought was the rosha is really the tzadik. The one we thought was the tzadik is really the rosha. So then the Torah says, v'hayon bin hakos harosha. Sometimes by a case of eidim zavim, you give malchus. So when is that? So that's what the Tanoim say. When you're unable to give the Kasha Zamam, so then you give Malchus. So the Gemara's Lashon is, Remez Leidim Zavim Shalokim in Atar Minayin. And the Ramban writes that that's clear, that that's a din deraisa. But he says, usually, Ruba de Ruba of the case of when it says Remez, means that it's only an Asmachta. So here, the Lecha Mishnah points out, you have these two brises, one next to the other, in Sanhedrin around Daf Mem Vav Asal. And the one brise says, the other Bryce says exactly the same, but it adds on one phrase, Remez likvura menatar minayin. So even though the Lashon was menatar, but it's only Rebbe, so that's only the Rabban. How do we paskin? So the Rambam has adopted the position that kvura by shar mesim is derais. That's where Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about burying people in a mausoleum above the ground. The din is you have to bury people below the ground. How deep below the ground? That's another tshuva of Moshe Fashion. Does it have to be 6 feet deep? 6 feet dalalam is deep. So Moshe, does it have to be 10 tvachim deep? So Moshe has a tshuva. He thinks that 3 tvachim is enough. He brings a rai from the Shulchan Aruch that 3 tvachim of offer on top of the mace is enough. So Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses this, that we have assumed lahalacha in this machlekes. The way the Lech Mishnah says, it's a machlekes satanayim, where the kvura b'shar meisim is a din derais, a din derabanan, and we assume, like the Rambam writes, that it's a din derais.
How does the Kfarim reconcile the whole concept of burying tzaddikim next to Hashem and vice versa today? Because today, you get someone who comes from home, it might be somebody who came from far away land, people don't know the person, and then he's a mess. I mean, How do we deal with this?
You have to buy a plot. There's a good Chevra Kaddisha where they check into it. The Gemara has a real thing. The Gemara says, even B'di'evit, if you bury the Rosha next to the Tzaddik, even B'di'evit, you have to take somebody out and rebury him. The Gemara said that's why this story is told. When Elisha died, so he was accidentally buried next to a Rasha, and it was Shaloi Kedin. So the Pasuk says in Malachim, and that's occurred, and the Rasha had a Tchias HaMeisim, and he walked away, and then either he lived on for a while or he died immediately afterwards, or he was buried somewhere else. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam make a nes unnecessarily? So the Gemara says it was necessary, because that's the halacha. You're not allowed to bury a tzaddik next to a rosh, and even b'di'eved, you have to remove somebody from the location. It is a problem. That's why you have to be careful. So the mitzvah is kavetik brana b'yomahu lachatchila. There's an essay to bury before the shkia. Yomahu is the same day. And if that's unreasonable, if you can't bury on the same day, the Gemara says, hey, l'ner l'chvoda was mutter. If you wait, if you postpone a day or two in order to have more people attend the funeral, in order to have the relatives come from out of town, whatever, in order to have a knockout hesped, you want to have somebody deliver a hesped, or they used to play music at funerals years ago in the days of the Mishnah. So they used to postpone a funeral in order to import Chalilim, in order to import musical instruments to play during the Hesbedim. So that's whatever is Kavod HaMeis. There's a mitzvah of Kavod HaMeis. There's a mitzvah of Kavod HaBrius. There's a mitzvah of Kavod HaBrius. That's in Chumash. The Pasuk says when a kohen is not allowed to be mitami l'meisim in Parshas Hamor. So it says the kohen is only permitted to be mitami to the seven relatives. And it says the last one mentioned is his sister, Lachos HaPsilah Shalohoi Salish. And then it concludes, lo yitamo. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, where the lo yitamo is a mitzvah sese achoiva, or lo yitamo is a rishus. He's permitted to be mitame. So the Gemara says this was a debate, bizman baisheni, and afterwards, and we paskin like that opinion, like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but before Rabbi Akiva was born, this was a machlekes. In the days of the baisheni, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva's opinion that lo yitamo is achoiva. So the Gemara says that pasuk, lo yitamo the achoiva, that's the source for the mitzvah of Kavod HaBrius. That pasuk happens to be talking about Kavod HaMeisim, but the Gemara assumes that it's a Kavod HaChaim or Kavod HaChaim. So there's a mitzvah to show Kavod HaMeisim, a mitzvah to show Kavod HaChaim. What's the definition of Kavod? So whatever is Mekubal is Kavod. Kavod always depends on Kavod is Kavod HaMedumah. Kavod is meaningless. So whatever is accepted. So if the Minhag HaMakom is that they play music by a funeral, so be it. So you're permitted to be male in the mace in order to get the Chalilim. The meaning is you don't play music, you have a big bal masbid, so you can postpone the funeral in order to get this nakat bal masbid.
Doesn't sound kind of possible, like Bayomi was talking because he killed Asa to life, it's specifically because he was hanging. Doesn't sound like Bayomi was talking about every burial, it's because we hung him, we don't want to leave the guy hanging.
Yeah, so the Gemara says, Kikila selakim talui, means to indicate that the mitzvah of the Salisa Saleit, the mitzvah after the Haruge Bezin, it says if a person deserved the death penalty and the Bezin gave Humas, Bezin gave him the death penalty, there's a mitzvah to hang him up after he's dead. We don't have death by hanging. We have a mitzvah of Taliya after he's already dead. So that mitzvah only applies by Mekadefes Hashem, Kikilah Selekim Toloi, because he cursed Hashem, or Rabbi Abedizor is also Dinikim Megadef. The Mishnah has a machlekes Satanoim. So the Chachamim say it's only by Megadif and Avir Avedizor. That's what it means. Kikilos Elikim Toli goes back with Salisos Aleitz. That the din of Taliyah only applies to the Mekalelos Hashem. So the other Tanner, I think Rav Lezer in the Mishnah is of the opinion that all Niskolim, Kolan Niskolim Nitlim. And the Chachamim disagree only in the Megadif and Avir Avedizor. But we assume Kavadik Brenner, the Kefaloshan, that the mitzvah pur applies to all meisim, even if the person died a natural death, and you have both the essay and the lois essay. The essay of kavtik brena bayomahu before the shkia, and if that's out of the question, then lasolin evlosa, you shouldn't leave him over till alos hashacha. You try to have the kvura at night, unless it's all lechvodo. If it's lechvodo, then it is mutter. That's what achrenim ask akasha. How can the Mishnah say that the whole reason for the mitzvah of kvura on the same day is out of kavod hameis? And if you're made in the mace, lechvodo, then it is mutter. Hilene lechvodo, eno evra lov, then it's permissible. That's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, around Daf Mem Vav. So the Achrenim are bothered with the Kash, but we have a rule. Gemara has a machlekes, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether Dashin and Taim and Dikro. So Reb Shimon says like that, Reb Shimon by Choy holds. Dashin and Taim and Dikro. And every mitzvah you have to ascertain what's the reason for the mitzvah. And whenever the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. And we don't accept his opinion. We task him, Loi Dashin and Taim and Dikro. True, there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to try to ascertain what the dinim are. and to try to ascertain what the reason for the mitzvah is. So that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but establishing what the reason, time and dekra, the reason for the mitzvah is not from the midrash Torah and Drashas Bam. It's not called the drasha. When you have midrash Torah and Drashas Bam, darshinon, so that regulates the application of the din. If you have a klal prat klal or whatever you have, so that regulates the din. So time and dekra is a chelik of Talmud Torah, but it's not a midrash Torah and Drashas Bam. That's how we paskin loy darshinon time and dekra. It's not a drasha. So that's what Acharenim asked. Why is all of a sudden over here, whenever the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. Helene lechvodo is mutter. That should only make sense according to Reb Shimon. We pass loy dashin in time of the Kro. So they give the teretz based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the second perek, has a machloek satanoim. How do you read the pasuk by the melech that we had, I think, 2 weeks ago? Parshas Re'eh, I think. It says the melech, or was it listening? I forgot. Melech, it says, so the Tanoim have a machlekes in the Mishnah. How do you translate the pasuk? And the reason for layabel anoshim is layaser es levavai. If he's going to have too many wives, he's going to sin. Is that the way you read it, or do you say no? Layabel anoshim is one lav, layaser es levavai is another lav. He's not allowed to marry too many wives, and he's not allowed to even marry one wife if she's not a very religious girl, because layaser es levavai. So the machlekes at Tanoim is, what if he's going to marry 25 wives? The accepted opinion is 18 wives are permissible. So what if he's going to marry 25 wives, but each one is going to be more religious than the other one? They're going to keep them in place. Each one is more frum than the other one. So one Tana says that is mutter, because the pasuk says le'yabel anoshim, and the reason for le'yabel anoshim is le'yaso es levavah. So the Gemara says, how does this relate to the machlekes of Shimon and the Chachamim, whether dashin in time of the cross? So the Gemara says no. Machlekes of Shimon and Achachamim is only when the pasuk is written stoma, and it doesn't incorporate the tam hamitzvah into the parsha of the mitzvah. It says has to say lo sachval beged amon. We know why the reason for lo sachval beged amon, but the chumash doesn't write the reason. So that's the original machlekes, Reb Shimon and the Rabbanim, where they say dashin in time of the cross. You say that the lav doesn't apply where the reason doesn't apply. But here, if you translate the words of the pasuk, layabla nashim layaso is levava is the reason, then everyone would agree. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. So that's what the Acharonim answer over here. It says, kavatikabana bayamahu, why? Ki kilos elakim talui. It's a bizayan to the mace. It's a violation of kavat abriya. So since the chumash gives the reason next to the mitzvah, so we say here, everyone would agree that dashin in time of the Kro. So, heilinei lechvodo, everyone would agree that it would be muta. What does it say? You should bury the people on the same day. It shouldn't be mitami eretz yisrael. What has it got to do with mitami zayin eretz yisrael? The din doesn't apply in America. The din of burying the harugi bezin also apply all over the world. You can have a Sanhedrin outside of Eretz Yisrael. The 23 members of the Sanhedrin have to have received smicha in Eretz Yisrael, but once they got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah says in Makkos they can function in Chutz Lorets also. So Hared Naheg is Bein Boretz, Bein Mechutz Lorets. So they can give Mises Bezdin outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they can have the din of Kavadik Berena there too. Why does it say something about Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz Lorets? That's what the Ramban points out on Chumash, Echidish Lahalochev, that the mitzvah of kavura is only on Meisei Yisrael. There's no mitzvah of kavura Meisei Yakum. That's a Gemara like that. There's no mitzvah of kavura Meisei Yakum. Unless it's in Eretz Yisrael, then v'lo setame esad moslem. So you have to be careful, even on Meisei Yakum. How does he know that this is true? So he quotes a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, that it says when they killed the Lamed Aleph Malachim, so they hung them up in order to terrify all of the rest of the goyim who live in Eretz Yisrael. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do to you if you don't give in. If you don't leave and give us a hard time, we're going to kill you and we're going to hang you up also. So the pasuk says, and they took them down and they buried them on the same day to fulfill the pasuk that says in Taras Moshe, Lasal and Nivlas Alayitz. What do you mean? The pasuk in Taras Moshe goes on Jews. It doesn't go on non-Jews. There is no mitzvah for non-Jews. So that's what the Ramban says. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a din lo setame esad moscho. So that's what Rabbi Chalap's father, Zechon Levracha, once published the Dvar Torah. How can you have a Jewish medical school in Eretz Yisrael? In every medical school they have cadavers. So here in Einstein and all the schools, here in Einstein they only allow non-Jewish bodies. They don't allow Jewish bodies. A kohen is not allowed to be metame to a non-Jewish body either, but you're not allowed to leave, you're not allowed to work on a Jewish body, because first of all, it's also b'hanoah. Secondly, it's nivel ha'meis to cut it up. And thirdly, you mevatel mitzvah of kvura. The three prohibitions in working on a Jewish dead body. So we always work on, in medical schools, they work on a non-Jewish cadaver. So the shaila is, how can you have a Jewish medical school in Eretz Yisrael? They leave the bodies around. They're in violation of the din of l'setame esad noscha. Problem. Because not just the Ramban. Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yeshua. The Pharisee should pass again Yeshua, that they took down the bodies in order not to violate this din chumash. They were non-Jewish bodies. The whole perigelim mitzias, the Ashavas Aveda, it's in today's parsha. Ba'ashevos aloi, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ashevos aloi is not only Ashavas Aveda, if he lost an item, what if the person himself is lost? What if a person is lost in a forest and he doesn't know how to get out? So he himself is lost. The Gemara says, Hashavas Gufo is a kavachema from Hashavas Mamono. That's what the Gemara says. If someone is sick, someone is not well, and if there's a Jew who knows medicine and knows how to heal the other person. So included in Hashavas Aveda would be to cure the patient. Then the Gemara says that just like by Shulchan Aruch has this, in the end of Yeridaya, you have the dinam of Bika Cholim, then you have the dinam of a rofe dealing with the patient, then you have, in case the rofe was not successful and the patient died, you have the dinam of Ripping Kriya, then you have the dinam of Kvur and the dinam of Avelus. That's the whole end of Yeridaya. So it starts off with the dinam of Bika Cholim and Hilchas Rofe. So the Shulchan Aruch over there quotes from the Ramban. The Ramban was a doctor. So Ramban wrote a whole Sefer Torah Adam. All the laws you have to know from the time the baby is born till the time the person dies. Torah Sa'adam. So he writes there about doctors. He was a doctor. He says a doctor is not allowed to take a salary. It's like Hashavas Aveda. It's based on Hashavas Salah. And the Gemara says in Ela Metzias that one who returns an Aveda is not allowed to charge money. You're not allowed to charge money for performing a mitzvah for someone else that you're obligated to perform. Schar Batola, you're allowed to take, right? Schar Batola, you're allowed to take. Like a Rebbe in Yeshiva. The doctors are allowed to take the same salary as the Rebbe. The Rebbe is allowed to take the same salary as the doctors. Exactly the same. Schar Batola. Whoever does a mitzvah. If somebody asks me to tie tzitzis for him, so Rabbi Hirsch explains, Rabbi Samson, Rabbi Hirsch in his commentary on Chumash explains, if somebody asks me to tie tzitzis for him, so I'm not mechuyev to tie tzitzis. You can tie your own tzitzis. If you want me to spend my time, so I have a right to charge you money. If somebody asks me to write tefillin for him, because I'm a sefer, you can write your own tefillin. What are you bothering me? So if you want me to write tefillin, I have a right to charge you money. But by Hashavas Aveda, I'm mechuyev to do the Hashavas Aveda. He doesn't know where his Aveda is. Or let's say the person is sick, and I'm the doctor. He doesn't know how to heal himself. So whenever there's a mitzvah, let's say Talmud Torah, the Rebbe has knowledge which the students don't have. If the students would have the knowledge of Torah that the Rebbe had, so they wouldn't need the Rebbe. Apparently the Rebbe knows something that the students don't know, so the Rebbe is mechuyev to share his knowledge with the students. Whenever the Torah imposes a chiyuv on me, I'm mechuyev to be, let's say, someone is a tomei meis. He's a tohar ala tomei. The person can be mazan himself, he won't make himself tohar. The din requires it. Somebody who's tohar has to be mazan the meis. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take schar lahazas. Whenever there's a mitzvah that the Torah requires of me, I have to do the mitzvah for you because you can't do it for yourself. So then the halacha says you're not allowed to take salary. You're only allowed to take schar batola. The Chasam Sofer has a collection of shalos tshuvas, several volumes. In one of the volumes, he has a tshuva to one of his talmidim who asked him, he's considering whether he should go into the rabbinate or not. He's wondering, is it permissible to take a salary as a rabbi? So the Chasam Sofer starts off his tshuva, you're asking me? You don't realize that I'm salaried by the community? Of course you're allowed to take salary. And he goes into all the details based on the Gemara, the end of Ksubis. How do you determine how much is Schar Batola? How much are you allowed to take? What's called Schar Batola? But many Rishonim say that the chiyuv of a doctor to heal the patients is based on Hashivas or Hashavas Gufa, based on a Kal V'chomer from Hashavas Mamono. If a person is a Bal Aveira, so the Minchas Chinuch and many Achrayim say that it's also a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveira. You should really explain to him why he shouldn't do these Aveiras, why he should do the Kiruv. Kirv is really included in the mitzvah of Hashiv Osolo. So if it's included already, so why do you need the pasuk of Hachef, Hachech, Hasami Secho? Wouldn't I know on my own that it's included in Hashiv Osolo? So the Minchas Chinuch suggests, well, the din, the mitzvah should be Adam Lachaver, like the Hashiv Osolo, only apply if the other person is Jewish. What if the other person is a Nochri, or he's such a Mumer, he's a Mumer Dinah Kinochri? So then many Rishonim say that you don't have the mitzvahs bin Adam Lachaveru. Not, let's say if a person is a Jewish person is a mummer, he's a Abidazar, Machal Shabbos Befrahesia, in such a fashion that he's Dina Ka'akum, so you don't treat him like a non Jew, that you're not allowed to shave off his payas, you're not allowed to sell the chametz to him, you can't use him for as your Shabbos goy. He's Jewish. Dina Ka'akum, and he gets to some Dina, but he's not Lahokel, it's only Lahachmer Dina Ka'akum. But many Rishonim say Dina Ka'akum, that there's no mitzvahs, there's no chiyuvim. No mitzvahs ben Adam Machaveru, just like the no mitzvahs ben Adam Machaveru to a Nochri, so the no mitzvahs ben Adam Machaveru to the one who's a Mumer. So that's why the Minchas Chinuch says the reason why you need the Pasuk of Achev Tochich Hasam Yisecho, that you have to give Tochacha to others, shouldn't we have assumed that it's part of the mitzvah of Ashovas Aveda? Ashovas Gufo, Kavachemah from Ashovas Maman. So he says the reason why you need another Pasuk is because sometimes the fellow will be a Mumer. So you don't have any mitzvahs ben Adam Machaveru there, so you still have the mitzvah of Achev Tochich. But that's also problematic. Is he called Amisecho? If he's a mumer, maybe there's no mitzvah of tochach either. So he gets involved. The Haschinuch gets involved in answering that kash. The Gemara, of course, in Eilu Metzias talks about all the details of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara discusses why does it say Chamoro, Simlosa, Kol Avedas Achicha. The Gemara is medayik every word over here. Umitzosa. The Gemara has the simple reading of the pasuk, the way the story begins. Lo sireh asher achicha o esayon nidochim v'hisalamte mehem, o sheb tishiveim li achicha. You should not see your friend's behemah straying away, getting lost, and you should not ignore it v'hisalamte mehem. No, o sheb tishiveim li achicha. So the simple reading of the pasuk, the simple translation is, like lo silcha l'hisalam, it says later, lo silcha l'hisalam. So the Pashtus over here also, lo sireh b'hisalam, you should not do that. So the Gemara says, yes, that's pshuto shel mikra. But there's an additional level of interpretation that we say, b'hisalamta, pamish atam v'salein. Sometimes you have a right to ignore it. You're not mechuyev to do Hashavas Aveda. When is that? So the Gemara says, if it's a zoken v'ena lefichvodo, if there's a consideration of kavod abriyas, then you're not mechuyev to do Hashavas Aveda. Let's say a rabbi with a long beard is walking in the street and he finds a woman's underwear. So he's mechuyev to carry the underwear and go announce, go to where all the women are and say that I found the underwear. So the Gemara says if it would be his wife's underwear, he wouldn't pick it up. If bishalo eino, if it would be his, he wouldn't pick it up. So then mishal chaver, he's not mechuyev to do for others, but he wouldn't do if it would have been his own. Then you have the din. The Yilbash Geber Sim Las Isha. A man is not permitted to dress up like a woman. The Gemara says not only is it forbidden with respect to clothing, it's forbidden to do activities that a woman would do. A woman is not permitted to do activities that a man would do. The Gemara gives the example of dyeing your hair. That women dye their hair to look younger, so men are not allowed to dye their hair. So there's a big shayla halacha ma'istaki, not allowed to dye hair. Let's say a guy's only 18 years old and he looks great. So how's he going to get a shidduch? The girls are going to think that he's 45 years old. He looks terrible. It's not that he's 85 and he wants to look like 45. He's 20 and he doesn't want to look like 60. He wants to look like 20. So this is a big shayla. Yisrid Yesh has a tshuva. He wrote, Yisrid Yesh learned, Bichil Yaakov Weimer, he learned in Slabotka. He writes a whole tshuva l'hakel, and then he says afterwards he found out that his Rosh Yeshiva, Moshe Mordechai Epstein, wrote to the Rosh Mordechai, also has a tshuva, and he's makel under certain circumstances. The guy just wants to look his age. He doesn't want to look younger than he is. But then he says, but the Lubavitcher, not allowed to use his kula, because one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe, has a tshuva l'hachmer. So his kula only applies to non-Lubavitcher. There are a lot of details about this. Le'ilosh gevesim lasisha. Shailas, let's say if it's raining outside, and I need an umbrella. The only umbrella is pink. So it's obviously a woman's umbrella. So I'm not allowed to use a woman's umbrella. So the Chof Mesodom is Meiko, because he says the Torah prohibits it only. It's a to'eva. Rashi says it's only prohibited if he does it derech to'eva. But if it's raining and a man is going to use a woman's raincoat or a woman's umbrella, that's not derech to'eva. Not everybody agrees. That's what the Chof Mesodom is Meiko, based on what Rashi writes. Lo seter derech to'eva. The Yalkut Shemani says that the reason why Yoel Eishes Chever Akeni killed Sisera by Yoda Leoset Tishlachna, she banged a peg into his head. Why don't you just decapitate him? No, that's also because that's Leilmesh Gevesim Lasisha. That's what the Yalkut Shemani says in that pasuk. So that's a shaila. Is that still the same as Manu's answer? Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. To his granddaughter, to Rabbi Tendler's daughter, who lives, I think, on the West Bank. She lives in Efrat. So the shaila is she allowed to go with a gun or not? So if the minigam makam is that the women go with a gun, so it's a mutter. All these things depend. Let's say a woman is going to wear pants. A woman is going to wear pants. So today they have women's slacks. So how can you say that? Maybe it's a violation of preetzes, but it's hard to say that it's an isur of leyilbash. Because the women wear slacks. That's what they quote, that the Stipler once suggested to the Chazon Ish, that maybe Bizman Azef, women wear slacks, maybe there's no violation of Layilbash, of Layikli Gevra Alish. So the Chazon Ish said, he thinks that if there would be a Sanhedrin today, they would give Misa to any woman who would wear slacks because of preaches. Two different things. The Stipler was talking about Layilbash, and the Chazon Ish was talking about Makam Yonshin L'Tzarech HaShoah. If a person doesn't act the princess, okay, a different thing.
What about a wedding ring?
Wedding ring. Sometimes it's a good idea. If a man is in the business world and he wears a wedding band, so the women know that he's taken, so they shouldn't start up with him. Sometimes it doesn't help. Sometimes bind gnuvim yim toku. Only if he wears a wedding band, then they're going to start up with him. So you have to figure out whichever is best for your purposes. If he's in a yeshiva, he doesn't need a wedding band. No one's going to start up with him. But if he's in the business world, maybe sometimes it is a good idea. In the days of the Gemara, men wore rings. So you can't say that men wearing rings is a violation of the Yilish Gevesim Lasisha. Men do wear rings. Someone showed me a whole bunch of blogs this week about this pasuk. So someone was raising an issue. Is there any prohibition in cutting off the male organ from a man? Of course there's a prohibition. A pasuk in Vayikra says, you're not permitted to be misaris any behemoth. You're not permitted to be misaris of Balcha. Is it prohibited for non-Jews? So the Gemara has a machloikis hatanoim, and it's usually assumed that it's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, but it is forbidden for non-Jews. That's Sirus and Harkovas Ilonis are written together in Chumash Vayikra, that these are also for Bnei Noach.
On the Sridi Shishanu Latayin here, so the same svar about women's pants, so you have to make hair color for men and hair color for women, so maybe it's one of the...
Could well be. Years ago, there used to be a lot of European Rabbanim who would dye their beards. That was the kula of Rav Moshe Martre Epstein, that women don't have beards. So you can't say that there's an issue of Layilbash. So they would have very... Rabbanim, you know, in their 70s, they have still dark beards. Litvish Rabbanim, because they all knew that the Slabodka Rosh Yeshiva had this cool on the beard.
Is there a problem with using a mirror?
The Gemara talks about using a mirror. The Gemara in Nazir, so in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the topic in the beginning of the second Chelek Yeridei about La Yilbash. So some have the practice that the men avoid looking in a mirror. Okay. They said the Brisker Rav always looked in the mirror before he left the house in order to make sure that his hat was straight. Brisker Rav was a big machmer, but the hat should be straight. You shouldn't look like an idiot. You shouldn't look like a slav. Your pay should be straight. Your beard should be neat. You have to look neat, so that's permissible. Some people like to look in the mirror to see if their tefillin are in the middle. So I think the Marsham has a tshuva, if I'm not mistaken. One of the Gdolim has a tshuva. He says it's an issue for men looking in a mirror. It's only permissible if it's litzarach. So this is really shalom litzarach, because Because the Gemara says, "Amakam yesh barosh, laniach shnei tefillin." There's enough room on the head to put two shel roshes, one next to the other, if they're small size. So even if your tefillin is a little off in the center, it's still going to be in the center. It doesn't have to be dead center. So he thinks that you shouldn't look in a mirror, in a tefillin mirror. And others are mekel. Dresses. Right? The Ramah quotes that practice. He says that there are those who are mekel, that it's not derech ta'eva. Just like Rashi said, Nechach Mesodim Pasna. If it's not derech ta'eva, then it's okay. Let's say a man is in a play and he plays the part of a woman. So it's also, it's not derech ta'eva. Everybody knows that it's a man is acting like a woman. There is a din in the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. There is a din of hayotze min ha'osar osar. Let's say eagle eggs are osar, or chaza milk is osar. The Gemara learns it from the pasuk. Ves bas hayano. The pasuk lists off all of the prohibited birds, all the birds that are of tome, and then it says the bas hayano. The Gemara says, what do you mean bas hayano? What about a ben hayano? Only a female ostrich is osar, and a male ostrich is mutter. Gemara says, no, bas hayana means beitzas hayana. Beitzas saif tome is asr. If in that pasuk we establish a din, hayotze min hatome tome, hayotze min asr asr. That's a mission in the first parak of Pcharis, around Avava. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. So all milk in the world should be asr. Even milk from a cow should be asr, because behema b'chayel is b'cheska sisra medicine. Until you shech the cow, it's asr. So all milk should be asr. So the Gemara answers, there in Pcharis, no. The pasuk praises Eretz Yisrael. It's such a wonderful country, Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash. So the Torah wouldn't praise Eretz Yisrael over the issue of the milk. The Chalav means milk, the Gemara seems to assume. Chalav is milk. So the Torah wouldn't praise Eretz Yisrael over the milk if the milk is not kosher. So you see that the milk is kosher. So how do you know that eggs from a kosher bird are kosher? Again, I should say that since the bird before you shecht it is also bachila. So maybe the eggs should be also even from a oif tohar. So the Shachan Yoridei talks about this. So many of the Rishonim say that pasuk that tells you that the milk is kosher, Eretz Zavas Chalav Adash, it tells you that this habamina is incorrect. So just like the milk from a kosher animal is kosher, so the eggs from a kosher bird are also kosher. And then the Shach quotes other Rishonim say the Halachas Gedolah says, no, I learned it out from today's Pasha Shiluach Akan. It says, "Veim ravetzes al habeitzim, shalech to shalches ha'em, v'sabonim tikach loch." So the Gemara says, "Tikach loch" only applies if it's kosher. If it's not kosher, then you don't have the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, because it says tikach loch. So you see that the eggs of a kosher bird are kosher. Not only that the kosher bird is kosher, but the eggs of the kosher bird may also be. He says that's learned out from this pasuk. Shiluach hakan is a psalm. We're not sure exactly what the nature of the mitzvah is. The Achrayim have a machlokes and the Minchas Chinuch, and this pasuk points out there seem to be contradictions from the mashmos of different gemaras in Perek Shiluach HaKan. Is the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan only applicable in a situation where the person is interested in taking the bonim? What if he doesn't want to get involved at all? Doesn't want the beitzim, he doesn't want the mother, doesn't want the afrechim, doesn't want anything. Just don't bother me and I won't bother you. Are you still mechuyev to do Shiluach HaKan or not? So that's a big machlokes achrayim, and it's a stiris in gemaras. Some gemaras sound like you are mechuyev. Why should you be mechuyev? He's going to send away the mother bird, he's going to take the beitzim, then he's going to leave the beitzim in another place. He doesn't want the beitzim. So what kind of a mitzvah is that? Very strange. So those achrayim, the Pischi Tshuva on Yeridei quotes this. So those achrayim who insist that that's the nature of the mitzvah quote a passage from the Zohar, a very startling passage, that the mitzvah is to demonstrate achzorius on the bird. We have to demonstrate achzoris on the bird. So, min hashamayim, the gates of mercy will open up. They'll have rachmanis on the bird. Once the gates of mercy open up for the bird, so then it's going to be open for everybody. So, the min hashamayim will have rachmanis on everybody. Sachok, we don't understand exactly what that means. People point out that the Chumash says leman yitavloch. The Gemara tells a story about Elisha ben Avuya, that he once saw a child who was obedient to the parents. He fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibarav, and the parents sent him to do Shiluach HaKan. And both by Kibbut Aviyein, by Meshiluch Achkan, it says, L'manita v'lach v'arachta yomim, and then the kid fell down from the ladder and he got killed. So the Gemara said, that's when Elisha ben Avuya gave up his belief in all Jewish religion, and he became an apikoros. He was a Tana. So that's when the Gemara tells the story. So one of the a businessman pointed out to me, people don't realize it says, L'man yita v'lach, L'man v'arachta yomim, says it by other things also. It says it by honesty in business. It says you have to have a hein tzedek and so on. And it says man yita v'lach v'arachta yomim also. People think only shiluach hakan and kibbut aviyein. Honesty in business says in the chumash also. L'man yita v'lach. Or to'eva. Here it says li'olish gevesim l'sish. It's a to'eva. It's a to'eva. Terrible. It is a to'eva. It says in the end of the parsha that if you have false weights or false scales, kitavas Hashem kolay se'ela. It's also a to'eva. To cheat in business. It's also a to'eva. A lot of demon in the Torah are described as to'eva. We shouldn't violate averis even if they're not a toev. Kalvachem, if the averis are a toev, but there are a lot of things that are described as toev. Then there's a mitzvah of makeh. A lot of people don't have a makeh. People have a porch. The mitzvah Mishnah Brura writes in Hilchos Chalamoid. He talks about building a makeh on Chalamoid. So he quotes from the Ritva Maseches Moikotin and the Bir Alochi quotes that the mitzvah makkah only applies if you use the roof. If you have a roof that's never used, when it's leaking in, so the roofer comes to fix it, but no one ever has any hishtams on the roof, then there's no mitzvah makkah. But if, let's say, a person has a porch and the porch is 10 tefachim above the ground, so the Gemara says in Baba Kam, if it's 10 tefachim above the ground, then there's a chiyuv makkah. If it's less than 10 tefachim, then it's Zain Bokedei Lahom, it's like a bor, less than 10 tefachim, Zain Bokedei Lahom. So the Gemara said there's no mitzvah makkah. Or let's say people have, the Ravid writes that the makkah has to be 10 tefachim tall. The Rambam writes it can be less, but the Ravid writes the makkah should be 10 tefachim tall. So a lot of people have an apartment where they have two floors, a home where they have two floors. And upstairs they have a banister, a wall to make sure the people on the second floor don't fall down. But a lot of times the wall upstairs is not 10 tefachim tall. So there's mamish a chiyuv makkah. Chiyuv makkah is not only you fall off the roof and get killed in the street. You fall down from the second floor to the first floor, you can also get killed. There's also din makkah. Sometimes you have windows. So some of the windows begin within 10 tefachim to the floor. So let's say I have a window on the second floor. Here the window doesn't open until this high point. So that high point is way above 10 tefachim. So this is already a makkah. Other people have windows that open up mamish near the floor. So you can, and you don't have 10 tefachim tall of a wall there. So that's, according to the Ravid, you're in violation of the mitzvah makkah. The makkah has to be 10 tefachim tall.
What if there's somebody has a shutta for the goy in an apartment, let's say, and there's a roof that's accessible, or even as Rashad was saying, the second floor, that's accessible, that's good, but the great top was standing in the way of the Jew putting it up. What is it going to do? Should the Jew vacate the premises and find another place, or should the...
He really should. His mevatel mitzvah. Yeah, he should convince a small fee. He can, for a small amount of money, he can probably convince the non-Jewish partner that they should put a makkah. There is an opinion of Chosh Mishpah. Makkah is the end of Chosh Mishpah. There's a machlek is whether you say a bracha or not. Machlek is if you say a bracha, what should the nusach bracha be? Leah, al. Shiloh HaKan is also machlek is whether you say a bracha. So the meaning is that people don't say a bracha. Same thing, Makkah. The meaning is they don't say a bracha. So in Chosh Mishpah, when they discuss the dinam of Makkah, so there's an opinion that just like by mezuzah, the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the position of one opinion in Tosis that mezuzah is only a mitzvah min haTorah if the home belongs to me. If it's only rented, there's no mitzvah mezuzah min haTorah, because the pasuk says "Chasaft ma mezuzah de secho ubi sharecho." So it has a chok. So here we said also "Osisa makah ligagecho." So if the house is only rented, so the chiyuv makah is only with the rabbon. So it's a little funny. Why? But he's going to die min haTorah. If he falls off, he's not going to be dead mid the Rabbanim. Why should it only be a chiyuv mid the Rabbanim? I don't know. That's the Pischei Tshuva quotes such an opinion. That a rented house is only a chiyuv makkah mid the Rabbanim. then you have the din. You're not permitted to plant kilayim in Eretz Yisrael. Planting kilayim chutz l'aretz is only midirabbanan. Planting kilayim in Eretz is for the mitzvah of Luis Baritz. That's an isa deraisa. Then the Chumash says, if you did plant kilayim hakerem, there's another din of kilayim zeroim. You're not allowed to plant vegetables near each other. So that's only in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't apply in chutz l'aretz even midirabbanan. But kloy akerem only applies in Eretz Somen. Atoira and Chutz Lortz, it even applies in the Rabbanim. Maishno, the Gemara in Kiddushin wants to know on that Mishnah at the end of the first Perek. When it says mitzvahs hatloyis baretz don't apply in Chutz Lortz except for kloy akerem in the Rabbanim. That's one of the exceptions. So why did they only introduce kloy akerem in Chutz Lortz? Why didn't they introduce kloy Zroim in Chutz Lortz also? So the Gemara says because kloy akerem is more chomer on the level of their Isa than kloy Zroim. Kloy akerem, if you did plant it, it'll be also b'hano min ha-Torah. And kloy zroim is an avera to plant it, but once you planted it, so it's muta b'hano. It's muta tida muta b'hano. So therefore, so one is Muhammad and the other is therefore you don't make exer the rabban chutz l'aretz out of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi comments on that gemara because the whole prohibition of kloy zroim is only mid the rabban. The yisa deraisa planting climb is only kloy hakerem. The fact that it's mutabano, that's a dead giveaway that it's only the Rabbanon. So since in Eretz Yisrael Guf it's only the Rabbanon, so they don't have to make exera to prohibit Kloy Zeroyim a Chutz Lortz. Taisa disagrees with Rashi. What are you talking about? Kloy Zeroyim is only the Rabbanon. A pasuk. Sotchala Sizer Kilayim. Here it's a pasuk. Lasizer Karmacha Kilayim. So that's Kloy Haker. The other pasuk, Sotchala Sizer Kilayim. So Rashi learns Sotcha means Kerem. Rashi learned that Sotcha is only in Issa Derais and Kerem. If it involves grapes with a vine. And Tosafot disagrees. They're both in Issa Derais. But Kloy Zeroyim is Kal, and Kloy HaKerem is Chomer. So they only made the Gzera de Rabban Chutz L'Aretz out of Eretz Yisrael by Kloy HaKerem. How do you know that Kloy HaKerem is even Osa B'Hanoah after you planted it? That's the Pasuk in today's Sedra. Pentigdash Hamaleya Hazera Shetizra U'Tvuas HaKorim. What does it mean, Pentigdash? Lest it'll become Kodesh. So Kodesh means something that's separate. Kodesh sometimes means sanctified, holy, and sometimes means like a Kadesha, separate in its Asa. So here it says, Pentigdash Hamalei Hazer Shetizra, that'll be Asa Bahano. The Gemara says, not only is it Asa Bahano, we have a list, the last Mishnah and Tmura list of all the Yisuri Hano in the world, and it divides them into two categories. There are Nisrafim and there are Nigborim. Some of them have to be burned, and some of them you just have to dispose of. Let's say basa b'cholov. By mistake, someone cooked basa b'cholov. So you have to throw it in the garbage. You're not going to give it to the goyish helper because you're going to be getting hanor from that. She's going to be makatoy. She's going to give you back something in exchange. She's going to give me back. She's going to be working better for me. So yeah, if you have basa b'cholov derais, basa b'cholov derabon is only also b'achila muta b'hanor. Basa b'cholov derais is also b'hanor. So you're not going to get hanor. But you don't have to burn it. There's no din of sreifa. And kloy hakerem is a mitzvah of sreifa. So where is that? So the Gemara darshan's pentigdash pentukad eish. So the Gemara says that this is a drasha deraisa. Pentigdash pentukad eish. That kloy hakerem is minhan isrofim. What else is minhan isrofim? Orlo. The berries that grow on a tree the first 3 years are minhan isrofim. So Rashi and Taisa say they don't know what the last daf in Tmurim, the last Amid base in Tmurim. The Mesichta ends on the last Amid Aleph, but this is the last Amid base before the last Amid. So Rashi and Taisa both say they don't know where the Pasuk is, but there must be some Pasuk where there's some hekish between Orlo and Kloy HaKerem, because the Gemara always puts the two together. So this is a din deraisa, pentigdash, pentukadesh, that Kloy HaKerem is min hanisrafim. And then we assume there's some kind of a hekesh somewhere. We don't know where it is. A mysterious hekesh that indicates to us that Orla is also min anisraf. And you have Ksubas, you have Elonairis, you have the dinam of Moitzi Shemra, and you have the dinam of Oines, the Knas, with the Malkus and everything. This is all in today's Sedra. All the dinam in today's Sedra. Then you have the prohibited marriages. One is not permitted to marry a mamza even 10 generations later, and even after 10 generations later. Amoine Moyovi, if a non-Jew converts from Amon Moyov, say he becomes Jewish, he can marry, he has to get married, he has to fulfill the mitzvah of Piru Rivi, but he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, and Amayna Mayavi is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. We paskin Amayna v'loy Amaynes, Mayavi v'loy Mayavis. That's why Rusa Moavia was permitted to marry a Jewish person, and David HaMelech was a descendant of the Rusa Moavia. So the Gemara says, before they appointed David as HaMelech, there was a whole machlekes. Is that so? The din wasn't so well known at that time. And then the Mepharshim, that is the din. Amayni v'loy amaynis, mayavi v'loy mayavis. By mamza, you don't say mamza v'loy mamzeres. Mamza does make a difference whether male or female. And the same thing, mitzri v'adaymi, also doesn't make a difference whether it's male or female. Even though mitzri v'adaymi is more kal than amayni mayavi, more kal than mamza. Mitzri v'adaymi is only also the first two generations. Let's say a non-Jew who's a mitzri, or a non-Jew who's an adaymi, converts. And he marries another mitzvah. A mitzvah marries a ger mitzvah marries a geyoris mitzvah. And they have a child. So the child is called a mitzvah darsheni. And the mitzvah darsheni finds a shidduch from his community. He marries also a mitzvah darsheni. And they have a child. So that's already mitzvah darshlishi. So mitzvah darshlishi, yovalahem b'kal Hashem, they're permitted to marry. So in a certain sense, mitzvah b'adaymi is more kal than the prohibition of mamzer. It's only darishan and darsheni. Darshlishi is mutter. And it's more kal than Amayni Mayavi. Amayni Mayavi, the psul goes on throughout all the generations. It's not limited only to the first two generations. But nonetheless, the mitzvah b'adaymi applies both to males and the females. Machlokes HaTanoim and the Mishnah, we pass and applies even to the females.
Who was saved by Hordus? Same as an enemy?
Hordus was what?
He was an enemy.
I thought the Gemara says that he was an Eved. He was an Eved. And he wasn't Roy to serve as the Melech. He was an Eved K'naini. Eved K'naini is Chayv and Mitzvus Ki'isha. The Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim. We paskin that a Mamzer is not permitted to marry Lo Yovid B'Kahal Hashem. Not going to marry a Yisraelis, but he may marry a Gioris. He may marry a Gioris. If a Gioris marries a Mamzer, the children will be Mamzer. Let's say the Gioris marries an Amoni or a Mayavi. Also, Amoni Mayavi is not permitted to marry Leyava Lahem B'Kal Hashem, not going to marry a Jewish girl, but he is permitted to marry a Gioris. The marriage is Beheta, but the children will still be Amayne and Amayavit. So if the children will be females, if they'll have daughters, so Amaynes and Amayavit is Mutter, so that won't be a problem. If they'll have male children, then you're going to have a problem. A lot of sugis and yivamis about these dinim. Torah has special dinim regarding the Jewish army. Ki seitzei machna aloivecho, the special halacha is that every soldier has to have a shovel. V'yod tir l'cho ala zeinecho. In addition to all the other equipment, he has to have a shovel. And today they have sometimes portable toilets. But if you don't have a portable toilet, you have to make sure that there's cleanliness in the machna of the soldiers. They have to be careful for Ervo and for Tzoa. The Gemara in Brachas learns out from this parsha that you're not allowed to daven and you're not allowed to learn Torah. Can I get Ervo or Tzoa? How can you learn out from the parsha? The parsha is talking about the army. The parsha is not talking about learning. It's not talking about davening. What does it have to do with davening or learning? So the Pasha Pshat is the reason why you're not allowed to daven. Keneged Erva and Soya, because you're talking to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a bizoyan to have the Shechina there, Keneged Erva and Soya, when you learn Torah. So the Mishnah says a person learns Torah, so we assume that the Shechina is going to be there with him. The Pasuk says over here, if you have a Jewish army, Ki Hashem Elokecha Misalech Bikerev Machanecha Lahatzilecha, V'los Esayvecha Lefanecha, V'hoi Machanecha Kodesh. We require Kedushas HaMachaneh, because of the fact that there will be Hashuas Hashchina, even if they're not saying any Pesukim, even if they're not saying any Brachas. Just if you have the soldiers fighting a war, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises he will be there. the war itself is considered a davar shebikdusha. So the Yerushalmi has a discussion, what's the minimum number of soldiers that you have to have in the battalion, that they should be together, they should have the status of a machana. So the different opinions. So the Magen Mishnah writes on the side of the Rambam, this is a Yerushalmi, the end of the first perek in Erevin. Rabbeinu Hananel quotes it on the side of the Gemara in Erevin, the end of the first perek. So the Magen Mishnah thinks that we should paskin that 10 people. So the Chazon Ish writes, and the Sefer and Erevin, yeah, 10 people like a Dabash Abigdusha. If you have 10 Jewish soldiers, and just like an Apikoris can't be mitzarif to a minion, you have to have davke 10 maminim. So to over here, this minion, that the Pasuk promises, Ki Hashem alakach misalech dikerach machanecha, lahatziyelech v'losei avecha lefanecha v'oye machanecha kodesh, only applies if you have a minion of Jewish soldiers who constitute a minion, then the Shechina will be present. Kol be'asara Shechinta Sharia. Usually we say, Kol be'asara Shechinta Sharia, if the Asara are davening together. Here the Asara are fighting the Loicha Melchamas Hashem. So the Torah promises that the Shechina will be there. So just like by the Machane, when they're fighting a battle, because the Shechina is there, so they have to be careful for Tzoya and for Ervo. So too, in another case, if people are learning, if people are davening, there's also going to be a Hashuas HaShechina. So you also have to be careful. But in the Machna, the Pashtus is, even if they're not learning, even if they're not saying any brachas, they're not davening at all, you need Kedushas HaMachna because the Shechina is going to be there. The Torah has the Parsha of Nidorim over here. The Torah has the Parsha of Nidorim, beginning of Parshas Matos. The Ramban points out in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that he thinks they should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. The Ramban counts it all as one mitzvah. In Parshas Matos it says, Lo yachol dvar chala yetzi mipiv yase. So lo yachol dvar is a lois esse, chala yetzi mipiv yase is an esse. And here it says, Motzvah secha tishma v'yosisa kashen adarta. You should do what you promised to do. You have to fulfill your nedarim. So the Rambam counts this as one mitzvah essay, and it's a kefala mitzvah. It's repeated. Rambam has a klal, shorish test. The Rambam has 14 klalim, 14 shoroshim, and the sefer mitzvahs that guide him to determine how do you count the mitzvahs. So the Rambam has a shorish test. Whenever you have the same mitzvah repeated many times, you only count it once. Chela, the dam, is repeated so many times. Shabbos is repeated so many times. You only count it once. So here also, Rambam says, Motzis of Secha Tishmar is a repeat from Chol Yetzim and Piv Yaseh in Parshas Matos. The Ramban there in the Sefer HaMitzvah disagrees with the Rambam. He says they're two different things. The Parsha in today's Sedra is speaking, Kisida Neda Lashem Alakecha, speaking about Nidre Mitzvah. A person takes an edda to give a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, to donate money to tzedakah, takes a neder that he's going to learn Torah, whatever. Okon li'eshtem perek zeh. Neder gadol nadol l'lekei Yisrael. The Gemara has him the first perek in the dorm. If he takes a neder l'dvar mitzvah, so then you have a kiyum esti of mitzvah sasecha tishma v'yasisa kasher adarta l'Hashem l'kechon dova kasher dibarta b'fibah. That's a kiyum esti. But if a person takes a neder, let's say, he's angry and he says, I'm not going to come to the simcha, and he asks everything b'hano. So what, he did a mitzvah? He did a mitzvah. If he doesn't go to the family wedding or to the family bar mitzvah, he didn't do a mitzvah. He didn't violate an aver. The pasuk says, "La'yachol dvara chol ha'yetz mipiv yaseh." Goes on nidrei horishus, not a nidrei mitzvah, and that's implying an iser esse, not a kiyum esse. Hashem can over here, mitzvah secha tishma. This is a kiyum esse. So Ramban thinks that these should be counted as two different mitzvahs because they're two different things. One is a kiyum esse, one is an iser esse. So Vechik thought that the Rambam also agrees that one is a Kiyum Esse, one is an Iser Esse. He thinks that it should still be included in one Pasuk. But Lachari, he'd also agree that the two different aspects to the mitzvah. Then the Ramban thinks that this Parsha in today's Sedra, that's speaking about Nidrei Mitzvah, includes the Pasuk of Layachal of Losa Acher Lushalmoy. If a person pledges to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, he pledges to give tzedakah. So the Gemara says that there's a din of losachah l'shalma, the posik. So what's the shear of losachah l'shalma? So the Gemara says different opinions in the Tanoim, and the first parak in Rosh Hashanah and the Avok. So we pass from Sholosh Regalim. If you wait till after Sholosh Regalim, then you're in violation of losachah l'shalma. Or if you have a whole year goes by, even if it wasn't Sholosh Regalim. Sometimes you can have a shana of beris, it'll be a whole year will go by and you didn't even have shalosh regalim. So either a whole year is loisa acher, or shalosh regalim will be loisa acher. So the question is, what if a person takes a shvua, he will eat a bag of potato chips? He will drink 100 bottles of beer. Is there a din of loisa acher l'shalmai? But he has to drink it within a year? And if he waited a year, then it's a shvua. You can't have a neder bikumbi yaseh. Neder is always an isachevtze, but a shvua can be bikumbi yaseh or b'shevi altas. So if a person takes a shvua, I will drink 100 bottles of beer. So he has to do it within, we say, chashin Hashem ayomah. So he should drink it fast because he may die. He may not live so long. He may violate the shvua. But would you say that he's in violation of l'sach l'shalmai? So the Ramban writes, he doesn't think so. The Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvah writes, he says, this l'sach l'shalmai only appears here. And he says, in the context of the Nidrei Mitzvah, so he says, by Nidrei HaRishus, there is no din of l'sach l'shalmai. Gemara talks about Bal Tachah by Tzedakah, by Karbonis, you have Bal Tachah, not by Stam. Rabbi Kivager in the Gilyan HaShas, on the side of the Gemara in Nidorim, points out that the Ran there disagrees with the Ramban. The Ran Taka talks about a person took a shvua to eat some potato chips, so he has to hurry up quickly to eat it in order not to violate Bal Tachah. So he points out that the Ramban does not agree with that Ran. Then the Ramban writes a third distinction between Nidrei Mitzvah and Nidrei Harshus. Nidrei Harshus are only binding if he says Harini Noider, Harini Nishba, or the equivalent in some other language, whatever language he speaks. Let's say the fellow didn't say Harini Noider and Nishba. He says, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning before Shachris and I'm going to learn Daf Yomi. He didn't say Harini Noider, Harini Nishba. So does he have to say Bili Neder? Because otherwise it's a binding as a Neder or not. So the Ramban thinks, based on Gemara's, that if he doesn't say Bli Neder, that is a Neder. The requirement to say Harini Neder, Harini Nishba is only by Nidrei Harshus. By Nidrei Mitzvah, he thinks that you don't have to say that. If you just say you plan to do something, Dvar Mitzvah, then you're Mechuyiv too.
Is that the whole thing when people make Haskara for the
Neder, Right. If you don't say Bli Neder, it'll be binding mitam Neder, yeah.
If I didn't say Bli Neder, then it's all that one made a Neder.
That'll be binding. You have in one of the Klolim, in order to determine whether a person gets Malkus, as the Aver has to be similar to Losachsim Shabbat Ishai. So number one, it has to be a lav that's written in the Chumash. It's only known through the Torah Shabbal Peh, let's say, or lo b'chutz l'art. So the Rambam Paskin says, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the Rambam says, there can't be Malkus. It's not dumi the lav d'chassim. It doesn't even appear in the Chumash. And the Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. The Gaonim are of the opinion that one who eats or lo b'chutz l'art is like. So the Rambam says, how can it be? But it's not dumi the lav d'chassim. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in the Sefer a whole explanation of the Shitas Hagonim. How can they disagree? It's so mukhrach. Then the Gemara says, it has to say more than that. It says, Loi Sachsim Shabbadish, it says lo. What if it's written, what if the Aver is written in the Chumash in a style, it's a lav abo mechlala, say. It doesn't say belosh and lav. Then the Gemara says, it's not dumi the lav dechasima. So Tak has to say lo. Loi Sachsim Shabbadish. The Gemara says no. If it says Hishomer, pen or al, that's the equivalent of lo. But if it's less than that, it doesn't even say Hishomer, pen or al, then it doesn't count. It's not dumi the lav dechasimi. It won't be loike. So the Gemara gives an example of an avera for which you do get malchus, even though it doesn't say lo. It says hishomer. Here it says in today said hishomer benega hatzaras lishma miyod v'lasos b'chol hashayor eschem akohanim halavim kashet zivisim tishmeru lasos. A person has a nega tzaras and he's afraid to go to the kohen. He's going to go show it to the kohen. The kohen is going to tell him that he's tamei. He's going to have a whole headache. He's going to be tamei for a long time. So he takes a knife and he cuts it off. He goes to a doctor and they cut off the nega tzara. So the Mishnah says that you're loike. If a person has a nega tzara and he cuts it off, he's in violation of this law. Hishama ben nega tzara. Hishama pen vial is considered a loisese and the person gets malchus. The Pashtus says, there's a Rashbo and Shabbos points it out. The Pashtus says, what if I go to the Kohen? And the Kohen paskin said it's a nega tohor. So then the Rashba says, then there's no avera to cut it off. if I didn't go to the Kohen yet, I think it's a negator. There are different shades of white. Some of the shades are tummy, some of the shades are tummy. So the Gemara says the lav applies even to a negator, because man, you didn't show it to the Kohen. Once you showed it to the Kohen, then you're not over on, and the Kohen paskins tohar, then you're not over on the lav. The lav is only shamma b'nei katsaras, lishma miyod v'lasas k'chol ha-shayor eschem ha-kohanim ha-levim. You're not allowed to avoid presenting the shayla to the Kohanim. But if he presented it, and the Kohanim said that it's tohar, so then the pashtus in the Gemara is that there's no lav. So in connection with the nei katsaras, it says, Zocher s'shros ha-shamam kecha le-miriam, that Miriam was punished with Negat Saras. So it has it right next to the Pasik Shamba ben Negat Saras. What exactly is the Zechiras Miriam? The Mogen Avram quotes from the Yalkut Shemoni that just like Zechiras Amalek is a mitzvah in our Torah, and some Rishonim think it's a mitzvah once a year, every year, so too Zechiras Chet Miriam is also a mitzvah that we should lay in it once a year, every year. Such a possibility. The Magen Avraham asked, so why don't we make a whole announcement? Why don't we have a special Haftorah? And the Gabbai should make an announcement. Everyone should have a mind to be Yotzi with the Brocha of the Oilol HaTorah, Zechiras Chet Mir. So he says it's an embarrassment for Miriam, for the Tzaddikas. We should make a big tzimis. But really, we should have a mind when the Balkari lanes Pashas Kiseitze, we should have a mind to be Yotzi, Zechiras Chet Miriam, and Zechiras Amalek also. In case a person is going to miss hearing Parsha Zohar on the Shabbos before Purim, you should have a mind to be Yotzei with the Kriya on Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. What exactly is the mitzvah to remember Chet Miriam? So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, we should remember not to talk Lashon Hara, because Miriam was punished for talking Lashon Hara. That's the Chavetz Chaim wrote a whole sefer. That's Chaim wrote quite a few swarm. So one of his little swarm is called Zohar LeMiriam, to remember that one shouldn't talk Lashon Hara, because the punishment that Miriam was punished with was Tzaras. Rav Soloveitchik used to quote from Rav Kook in Oilas Riyah Siddur that he thought that that's not the Pshutu Shel Mikra, that's an additional level of interpretation. He thought that it's hard to assume that a Zechira, Lashon Hara is a terrible aver, but the Zechira he thought that should be from the Sheish Zechiras. It's probably one of the Ikari Huamuna that we have to remember here. So he thought that what the Rav Kook writes in his Siddur, he thought that this Zechiras Chet Miriam refers to the fact that Miriam was complaining, who does my brother Moshe Rabbeinu think he is? That he was, from the day that he became a Navi, he was Pirish Menu Isha, I'm a Navi also, and I didn't have to separate from my husband. And my brother Aaron HaKohen is a Navi, he didn't have to separate from his wife. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu think that he's holier than everybody else? HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Miriam and says he is holier. He's a much higher Navi. You're on a lower level of prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level of prophecy. So the Rambam lists this as one of the 13 Ikari HaEmunah. We believe in the principle of prophecy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate and has communicated in the past with men and will communicate in the future. And number two, we believe that the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu is a higher level Nevuah than that of the other prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was given Torah. Torah means a description of Elokus, and that's why it's binding throughout all the future generations. The other Nevi'im only get Hoyroah Shoah. They don't get Torah. So that's what Rav Kook writes. He thought that this Zechiras Chet Miriam means to remember that Iker and Emunah. That as an additional level of interpretation, the Tanoim said, but Rashi quotes that we should remember the seriousness of the Avera of Lashon Hara. We were learning in the Tosfos in Gittin, the Abdallah the Manalef, Matanta Davi Chasima Le Trei Gisi, that there was a Shtar Matana. One person wanted to give over a Matana to someone else of Karka. Karka is nicknamed Bishtar. So the two Edim Hussein were Rishon Berishon with two Balki Ishtas. There were two sisters who were married. So they were brothers in law based on a double marriage. So that's a Machlekes HaTanoim. And we paskin that Gisim apostle. So the whole institution of Kroivim, Sulim Le'edis, appears in the third parak in Sanhedrin. It's a whole sugi, it goes with a few dafim gemara, and it's all based on the pasuk in the end of today's sedra. Liyim savus al banim ba banim liyim sav alovers. Ish becheto yumosa. So the pshuto shel mikra is referring to the fact they're not allowed to punish the children because of the sins of the father. Not allowed to punish the parents for the sins of the children. Ish becheto yumosa. People will be punished for their own sins. But as an additional level of interpretation, the Tanaim saw in this pasuk, "Vayim so'avus abanim be'edus banim," that the parents can't be put to death because of the testimony of their children, whether his son will testify or his nephew will testify. Avos means two brothers, and the banim are the two sons. So the pasuk tells me that even a nephew can't testify. A nephew testifying for or against an uncle, that's a rishon b'sheni. The two brothers are rishon b'rishon, and the cousins are sheni b'sheni. And the two sisters who are both married is a rishon b'rishon with two balki ishtas. They say the Ramban says that's only in the Rabbanan. Two balki ishtas, that's Ramban is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So the whole institution of Kroivim, Psilim Leidus, is based on this pasuk in the end of today's Sedra. Then in the end of Bava Kama, you have the din Achoyvu Bachaber has to pay Hamisha Dvorim, Nezek, Tzari, Pushevis, and Boshes. So Boshes is on today's Sedra. It says when people are fighting and one wife, the wife of one of the men, comes Lahatzel Asisha Miyad Makeyu, so she humiliates, she embarrasses the one who's fighting with her husband. So the Torah says, Vekatzoy says Kapo. What do you mean Vekatzoy says Kapo? So the two, again, there are two levels of interpretation. The Raman quotes for Katzei says Kappa means if it looks like she's trying to kill him. So you have a right to cut off her hand. She's a Raidev. This is the mitzvah to kill. Mitzvah lehatzela sanirdev miyad ha-Raidev. And another level of interpretation is no. The Katzei says Kappa means she just humiliated the other one. Herzika b'mevushov. She was mevayishim. The Katzei says Kappa penalize her and make her pay boshes. So this is the mocker for the din of boshes. The Gemara says that boshes is different from nezik tzar ripui. And Shevis, Yechayv even loy miskaven lahazik. But Boshes, you're only chayv because it says, Shalchayod v'chazika mamushav, she does it on purpose. So Boshes is different from the other. Boshes apparently is considered an oynish. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yudah holds that Asuma is pata min haboshes, and Asuma is pata from Misa and Malkus and Golus. The Gemara quotes another version, Rabbi Yudah, Asuma is pata mikola mitzvah, Salmur is pata. That's another version. But the first version, two different prices. The first version of Yudah, he just says, Asuma is part of Mikol Ha'onshim. So he seems, the Pasha Pshat sounds something more, he seems to distinguish between Boshes on the one hand and the other Abu Advar, Nezek Tzar Ripui, and Shevis. The Pashto says that he wouldn't say, Rabbi Yudah wouldn't say that the Asuma is part of. Only Boshes, because Boshes, Rani Chayev, if you do it, Bemezit. Either Kavanasa Levayish or these Kavanasa Lahazik. And you have the pasuk at the end of the parsha. Even shleima v'tzedek yeloch. You have to be honest in business. It says, "Ta'avas Hashem alakecha kol ha'iseela." Dishonest businessman is called a ta'eva. Leman yarichon yamecha al ha'adama. The Torah promises arichas yamim if he be honest in business. The Vilna Gaon used to say to his talmidim that there are 10 parshios and chumash dvarim. And even though there are 11, so he said that the Tzav Vayelech only counts as one parsha. And the 10 parshas correspond to the 10 centuries in the 6th millennium, between the year 5000, that's the year 5768, Tavshin Samaches. So it corresponds to the 10 parshas correspond to the 10 centuries in the 6th millennium. And if you look in the parsha that corresponds to your century, you'll be able to find remazim for everything that's happening in that century. So Rav Chaim Balazhin asked him, where is the remez for the Rebbe? So he looked in Parshas Kiseitze, because he lived Parshas Kiseitze, Dvar Meschanan, Ekev Re'e Shoftim, Kiseitze is the sixth seder. So he looked in Parshas Kiseitze, because he lived in the sixth century of the sixth millennium. So he looked in Parshas Kiseitze, looking. So he found the pasuk Evan Shlema. He said his name is Eliyahu ben Shlomo. So that's the remez for him, Evan Shlema. That's why there's a sefer Evan Shlema. Someone made a likut in Europe a long time ago. They made a likut of all of the Vertlach of the Vilna Gaon in a topical order. What he says about Liman HaTorah, what he says about Midas, what he says about Tefillah, what he says about Bias HaMashiach, what he says about Urebram. So it's called Evan Shlema because of this one. And then he asked the Vilna Gaon, where's the remez for me? Rav Chaim Volozhin. So he told him a remez, but he didn't want it to, Rav Chaim Volozhin didn't want to tell anybody else because it was too flattering to him. So he just told the Talmidim that the Vilna Gaon told me a remez for me, he doesn't want to say it all. So others added on that if you continue to look, the seventh parsha is Kisavoy. That's supposed to correspond to the years 1840 to 1940. So in Kisavoy you have the Teuchecha about the bitter description of the suffering that the Jewish people we have. So one of the Rabbanim wrote that he thinks that's the remez to the Holocaust that occurred in 1939. It was worse after 1940. It was much worse than before. This is what one of the Rabbanim said. So one of the other Rabbanim said, if you look in Nitzavim, the next Sedra, that should be a remez to what's happening in between 1940 and 2040. So you have about Hakamas Hamdina. The Jews are returning back to Eretz Yisrael, establishing a Jewish government there. And then there's a big tshuva movement. That's what we see. Then it talks about Nitzav Mayel, it talks about writing Sifrei Torah. A new thing now. Every person in your uncle is writing Sifrei Torah. 60 years ago, no one was writing so many Sifrei Torah. Only the multi-millionaires were doing it. Our communities did it once every 50 years. They didn't have it as popular as now. Maybe. Anyway, that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. That every Sedra and Chumash Dvarim corresponds to a century of the sixth millennium, and you have a Muslim for everything that's happened. Okay, everyone is invited to participate in the Shabbaton. Rabbi Yonah Reis will be speaking the Shabbos.